From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Four students from the University of Idaho were found dead on Sunday in a Moscow apartment. And as of this morning, KTVB Television is reporting that police are investigating this as a homicide. We do know that a lot of people have friends, they have family, they have children up at the University of Idaho. So we do want to let you know that we are doing our best to cover this in the most appropriate way. And also, if maybe you need to take a pause from the show right now because it is triggering you in some way, please do that and then come back. With that said, here is what we know at this point. Sunday evening, University President released a statement saying that the four people were believed to be victims of homicide. Scott Green also said the Moscow police say there is not an active threat right now. However, the university has canceled all classes today as of Monday. Now, without much real information, you can imagine that there are rumors that are running rampant. Fears, anxiety is high, especially among students at the university. Joining us now is reporter Alex Duggan from KTVB, who has been following this story. Alex, we want to thank you for coming on today and talking more about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a quick mention that this information is up to date as of noon today. If you are listening to our 8 p.m. replay, if there has been new information, just go to our website, boisestatepublicradio.org, for more information there. And Alex, I just want, before we start our conversation, my condolences to you. I know you were just a recent graduate of the University of Idaho. So I do know that even as a journalist, sometimes these stories hit really close to home. So just wanted to mention that to you really quick.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, like, I still have friends up there, and they feel very unsafe. They're really worried. And I know that, you know, the victims' names haven't been released, but there are still people up there that have, you know, experienced a loss. And I think, you know, my friends are some of them, and I love the Moscow community. And I loved going to school at U of I, and, you know, this is just a really big deal. And I really, really hope that the community, you know, comes together for these kids. Mm-hmm.
So, Alex, what do we know right now? Let's go to yesterday, Sunday, right before noon. This is kind of when all of a sudden we started getting information.
Yeah. Police said that they went to the house on King Road, which is behind New Greek Row. Right behind the fraternity house Sigma Chi, and they went to a house or apartments. I guess it was a house converted into two apartments. And they went there because they heard a person who was unconscious. And the report or the news release said that when they got there, they found four deceased individuals. We later confirmed that they were students at U of I.
So anything more that we know about these students other than they are University of Idaho students, Alex?
Not right now. I know that there's a lot of things kind of running wild right now, but until we get confirmation from police, you know, that's kind of what we can release right now. And yeah, just the fact that they were students, it's really rocking the community right now. And, you know, I'm keeping them in my thoughts. And then, you know, they do believe that it was homicide, and classes were canceled today. So they'll resume on November 15th.
So Alex, we do know that two vandal alerts were sent out to U of I students and staff. And the first said that police do not have a suspect and they needed to shelter in place. Now that second vandal alert was even more cryptic, and I want to read it in its entirety. And it says, quote, "Investigation continues. Suspect unknown. MPD does not believe there is an active threat. Shelter in place lifted. Remain vigilant." Unquote. Alex, I think
that's really weird to me.
Yeah, and, well, right. And I think this is where maybe some of the, I mean, first off, we are talking about something that is so horrific within such a small community. And so it is already emotions are high. There is anxiety. There is fear, right? And then you get this cryptic alert. And it is not reassuring, frankly, to students nor to parents or, you know, who have children up there. And, you know, in particular, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, the shelter in place is lifted, remain vigilant, but there's not an active threat. I mean, do we know any more information than this?
Right. There, as far as I know, I have not seen someone in custody. I've been looking at the arrest records. Not much more information right now. It is interesting that they said that, you know, there's no threat, just because if it was a homicide, it does seem like, you know, someone would be arrested, and they're like, if they arrested someone, then there would be no threat, but I haven't seen anything on that. It's really confusing. And, you know, we're just going to have to wait until the city of Moscow and Moscow PD release more information. I know that we have a crew up there right now, driving up there to go get more information. We have been calling and calling Moscow police, and, you know, that's just really as much as we can do right now. And I'm just really, really hoping that there's more information so that this community can kind of start to grieve.
And I think it's important for our listeners to understand that this happened off campus. And Alex, as you said, I mean, this is right behind Sigma Chi, right behind campus, but it still happened off campus, which means that Moscow police are the lead investigators. They are in charge of this. That also means that it kind of ties the hands of the University of Idaho administration in a sense that they really have to take the lead from Moscow police. And I think that's important for people to understand, is that, you know, even if the university wants to say more, they really cannot, because it may impact the investigation. So, Alex, at this point, I mean, we are really waiting for Moscow police to give any more information than the cryptic information that they have released already.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, obviously none of us want to compromise an investigation, right? We want to do right by, you know, the students. And we just, it's just a waiting game right now. I know that Scott Green has probably been, you know, briefed on what happened, but he can't say much. It's just really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. And, yeah, to speak to kind of the location. So there's a street behind the fraternity, and that street is King Road. And it's kind of, you turn the corner a little bit behind these apartments on King Road. That looks to be where the police tape was in the photos, the house back there. So lots of kids from U of I, lots of students live in these areas, these houses and these apartments, out of house, meaning like if they are sorority or fraternity students, they live outside of their sorority or fraternity, or, you know, even members, or excuse me, students not a part of Greek life also live there. And there's I know just from living up there that there's a lot of Greek life students that live on King Road. And I don't know, like I there's just a lot of students that live on that street. So I've just really, really am keeping them in my thoughts today.
Well, and it's one of these things too, where, I mean, I went to school at Washington State University. These are both such tight knit communities because there are so many students that go up to these two small towns to go to college, and it is a special place. And when something like this happens, you know, something tragic, right? Whether it is a homicide, whether it is an accident, there are ripple effects for years about this. So before we move on, Alex, just my condolences to you and to all of your friends who are dealing with this.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
So as I mentioned, we're talking with KTVB reporter Alex Duggan about some of this breaking news that happened over the weekend and the developments. Alex has had a lot on her plate in what the news that she is covering. So definitely taking a toll emotionally, because Alex, the other case that you have been working on is in regards to Michael Vaughn. Now, Fruitland police spent the weekend digging up the backyard of a home. And I know, Alex, that KTVB is reporting that they are looking for the remains of Michael Vaughn, who went missing in July of 2021. Now, when Michael went missing, he was just 5 years old, and he lived in Fruitland. This is a little town, and he disappeared, I believe, kind of near his home, right, Alex? Can you give us a little bit of background on this case? Take us back to July of 2021, when Michael went missing.
Yeah, so he went missing from his neighborhood in Fruitland, off Southwest 9th Street. And his mother told me that dogs tracked his scent towards the end of the road. They believe that the family believes he was knocking on neighbors' doors, maybe looking for someone to play with. And then, you know, his dad, Tyler, said he was just in the back room putting Michael's little sister, they call her Buggy, putting her to sleep. He was ordering pizza. He came out to the living room. Michael was gone. The last time he saw him, he was playing on his little video game controller. And he went out into the yard, looked for him, went out to the street looking for him, panicked, called Michael's mother, Brandy, who was at work at the time, said, "I don't know what to do. Michael's gone." And she said, "Well, did you look here? Did you look there?" And then, you know, she raced home and they called the police because they, you know, they thought, oh, he might be just somewhere, you know, hiding or doing something like kids do. And then they just could never find him. And July 27th, 2021 was the last time they saw their child. And it's crazy because there hasn't really been any updates in a year, but now we're back, and I'm sitting here right now, on a street, on Red Wing Street in Fruitland, which is literally the neighborhood across from Michael's house, across the farm field, four minute walk. And we're here and they're excavating a backyard.
So, Alex, as you mentioned, I mean, the case went cold. I mean, there were thousands of tips that came in the summer of 2021. And I believe it was this summer, right? When Fruitland Police Chief J.D. Huff said that he had a new leave and that the investigation was heating back up.
Exactly.
And he's now saying,
yeah, the lead was back in, sorry.
Okay. No, go ahead. The lead was back when?
The lead in the summer, they said put them back in Fruitland. And now here we are back in Fruitland. So they seems like they were ramping up the investigation back then.
And Chief Huff says this was a very credible tip that they got. So as you mentioned, a 4 minute walk from Michael's house. I believe you reported yesterday, Alex, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the people that live in the home where they are digging do not own the home, and they have been cleared of being involved. Is that correct?
So not quite. So the people that live in the home it's a couple, and they neighbors have told me that they rent. Huff has also confirmed that the people that live in the home don't own it, and that they have no connection to his knowledge to the Vaughn family. But he did say to me this morning that the house was not vacant when Michael went missing.
Okay. Okay. And Chief Huff has made it very clear that he is looking for Michael's remains, correct?
Yeah, unfortunately, he did say, you know, we hope there's a chance that he's still out there, but this is a investigation relating to remains. Mm-hmm. They have human remains dogs out there right now. They had them out yesterday, they had them out the day before. Yeah, so they have the dogs out. He couldn't tell me if the dogs alerted on anything, if they didn't alert on anything, but there are dogs out there. They are human remain dogs. They're looking for remains, and they currently have this like backhoe excavating the backyard, just taking layers of topsoil off. And to that point, a lot of people were concerned, hey, does this, you know, giant heavy piece of machinery contaminate evidence? You know, you would think that if you scoop something up, it's kind of weird, right? Like maybe it would ruin some evidence if there is any. But he said, no, there's a reason for that. It's a long, tedious work. It takes time. The backhoe is just used to take layers from the backyard off so we can kind of dig in deeper. And he said he wants to go 3 to 4 feet deep in that backyard, and he will excavate every inch of it until they have an answer. And I truly believe, you know, like these investigators, he said they're emotionally attached to this. He's emotionally attached to this. Yeah. It's all really hard on them. They had the community bring them out coffee and donuts yesterday. And they're all just really tired. They start in the morning, they go home at dark. They've been working a really long time, and my heart's go out to his family as well.
And Alex, I don't know if have you had a chance to talk with Michael's family at all yet? I mean, I'm sure that they are very aware and informed of what is going on in the investigation.
Yeah, a family spokesperson told me that they know what's going on, that they request privacy at this time. Mm-hmm. I did reach out, but I am, you know, kind of respecting what they're probably going through right now.
Right.
And it's kind of just a waiting game as well. So we've been out here for, you know, this is the third day. I'm on my eighth day of work week, but it's necessary to, you know, kind of see what's going on out here and hopefully get justice for Michael, bring him home to his family. And yeah, you know, they request privacy, and I was also told that they, you know, thank this community for all the support right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's imperative that we honor their request for privacy during this time. And when they are ready, if ever, to make a statement, then that should definitely be on their terms and their timeline. With that said, Alex, before we wrap up, what do we know is next in this case? We're just basically waiting as they continue the excavation.
We're slowly getting more information on the people that live in the house. Most of it is unconfirmed, but we're slowly chipping away, working to get more information. And when police can confirm all this information, then we will be diligent in reporting it.
All right. Alex, I want to thank you so much. I know this has been really a difficult weekend. For you and for all the news teams who have been covering these two stories, both up in North Idaho and here in Southeast Idaho. We've been talking with KTVB reporter Alex Duggan. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and you've been listening to Idaho Matters. We have more information on this story at our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.